Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Holtby. Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Podcast. This is your host, as always, the Blue Liner on Point, coming to you live from Glen Burnie, Maryland, live to tape. And yes, we're finally into a full week of real hockey. No more of that preseason stuff. No more of that kid stuff. Hockey for real. The games count. The points do matter. Whatever cliche you want to throw in there. And with me, as always, to help me out, you can usually find her by the beach, but I understand she took a mountain vacation today or something like that, which I'm going to have her explained. It is the mermaid, the beautiful, wonderful Anna Knox.
Greetings. How you doing, Gil?
Not too bad. Not too bad. And you?
You know what? I could say now that I'm healthy, awesome. And I'm so glad that it finally feels like fall.
Yeah, finally got rid of that head cold or whatever was going on.
Right? Yeah. And as for my mountain adventure yesterday, I did the apple picking excursion with the family. And it is really crazy how much people on the news were talking about, like, oh, the fall foliage, it's not going to be as great because it's been so hot and this and that. And I'll tell you, I was a little bummed yesterday. I was so close to Skyline Drive, and it was just, don't get me wrong, the day was gorgeous, and the place that we were at was absolutely gorgeous, but I was really hoping for more of that fall stuff. But thankfully, there were a lot of females apple picking in their skinny jeans and boots and vests. So the Han Solo look is back for the fall. Can't say I partaked in it because I still wore my flip-flops until the snow is on the ground. But yeah, there was a lot of that yesterday and a lot of people who kind of overdid it a little bit. People with gloves, mittens, winter hats on. It's like, just take it down a notch, people. It's like, 70. But yeah, Han Solo's in effect and pumpkin spice people are going crazy. But I will say we had a really fantastic day yesterday.
Yeah, it looked like it. You had the family there and everything. So, I liked seeing those pictures. Speaking of the weather, yeah, it's finally hitting me or hitting us here that it's fall. It's fall when you got to ditch the shorts. And I finally had to the other morning. I opened up my door yesterday morning, and yeah, it was something like 45 out. And I still had my shorts on. Yeah, it wasn't feeling too good. As some would say, wasn't looking too good either. That's another story.
So, shrinkage, what?
not gonna get into that. But it's like you said, it's a nice. We got that nice crisp, coolness in the air. Finally,
yeah. It finally feels like. Hockey season, it feels like football season, it feels like, World Series. But most importantly, all we care about is that it feels freaking like hockey season, finally, because I've been watching the preseason games. Well, always commando, we already know that, but like shorts and a tank top and then air conditioning. And it's like, come on now. I need to at least have, my cap sweatshirt on, which I did wear apple picking yesterday. So I was out there representing the boys. So, but I just didn't have the skinny jeans and boots and vest on. And I will say, Troy Ryder will totally understand that joke. But anyways.
I would say something about mom jeans, but yeah, that's going to start a whole other.
Yeah. You're not allowed to go there.
No.
Females can laugh about mom jeans and going into that phase, but when guys make comments about it, it's like, oh no. Nope.
I'm going to restrain myself for whatever that is. Okay, before we get into the hockey, I'm going to try one more swing at the three commonalities, the leitmotif. I'm going to introduce it now. It's this week's theme is Canadian Caps players past and present and their origin. So basically, I'm going to throw out three Caps players, two present, one past, that all come from the same place in Canada. Okay, could be a province, could be a city, could be anything. I hope I'm not making that too easy for you guys, but that's this week's theme. Hope you guys listen along and guess along, and whoever gets it right, get some recognition on the Facebook page or wherever we can. So just going to put that out there right now. Do listen when that comes by.
As one of the people, Tom Wilson in Toronto?
No.
Oh. Well, then I forfeit and don't want to play.
gonna take your apples and go home, huh?
That's it. Okay. Oh, well, that's a good one. So hopefully people will play along. I won't, since you eliminated Tommy, but that's okay. No hard feelings.
We'll have one for him special soon, I promise. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So, all right. So moving on. Yes. As I said before, the season has started for real. And this team is on every three games. They're stuck on meatloaf for some reason. Why do I say that? Because two out of three ain't bad. Three games, two wins, both in regulation. No, I tell a lie. One was in overtime.
Yes.
The first win, I believe, yes, was in overtime against the defending cup champions. And then the second one against the Islanders was in regulation. Both games look pretty good. And last night's game, not too bad either, I would say, except for maybe a couple of aspects, most of the third period for one and something else. But we'll get into that later. But first week in the books. 2-0-1, 5 out of 6 points, 2 out of 3 wins. Pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. Lots to like, some not to like, some stuff not to like. We'll go over all of that. But before we get into that, big breaking news today. As we all know, major moves involving Moolah. For the sake of money and saving it and shoving it in certain places and whatnot, today. So they announced that several roster moves were made because of that, mainly several guys who were sent down to Hershey.
Right.
Most notably, a guy who was probably one of the standouts in what amounted to his first three games in the league, that of course being Martin Fejervaari. So it turns out he was sent down along with Travis Boyd. Yep, you're right. And trying to get the report here. Bear with me a few moments. Okay.
Who's the third?
I believe, yes, Jonas Siegenthaler. And unfortunately, I don't have my Yodel music queued up, or otherwise that'd be playing right now. Yes, he was also, to my surprise at least, sent down. I couldn't believe when I saw that.
I was a little shocked. I knew I had heard about the first two, excuse me, earlier today. And then, the final kind of later on this afternoon put Siegs out there, which was kind of disappointing. But I thought when we talk about the games, but I will say I was impressed. I thought he, was one of those players that had matured and, gives it 100%. And I was happy with having him out there on the ice. So let's just hope that it's just a temporary very temporary thing because of the whole caps, like you said, monetary issues.
Yeah, no, I am 100% confident that we will see one Martin Fejervaari back in the lineup sometime down the road. Not sure when that's going to be, but the great thing is if there is problems, whether it's injury related or just bad play, then we've got some talent in the pipeline that can be called up for sure. So that's a very, very good thing. And that's a sign that the future of the Caps is very bright indeed. So that's nothing to worry about. So this obviously is going to be, like you said, a temporary thing. Now, the other moves, mainly Boyd, I would say right now his long-term future is probably the one that's in the most jeopardy because he was not getting a whole lot of playing time. And I'm reading a report from the beat writer, post-beat writer, Isabel Kershudian. Basically, it came down to the fact that Garnet Hathaway and Brendan Leipsic, who we'll be talking about here in a little bit, pushed Stevenson and Boyd kind of out of the lineup. Then right. Stevenson, as we discussed last week, came back and had a killer last few games of camp.
Yep.
Which put him back in the conversation. So that kind of leaves Boyd as the odd man out because I wouldn't say that Boyd really played badly. It's just that he wasn't as good as those other guys.
So exactly. Well, and that's just it. It comes down to, excuse me. It comes down to, going out there, giving it 110%, showing them what you've got. And, these players did. Not knocking Travis Boyd, fan of his. Hope the best for him. But, that's what happens. But Hathaway, kind of becoming a favorite on my end. Even though he's not a three, but we'll see.
Oh, he's a multiple of 372.
He's 21, isn't he?
You're talking about Hathaway.
Yeah, sorry.
He's definitely
also a multiple of three. Thank you.
Yeah. Now that we've opened that up for discussion, I would say Hathaway was one of the highlights of these last three games.
Agreed.
He was doing bottom six line duty, of course, and so his play was kind of not as much under the microscope, I would say. But what I saw, I liked very much. You saw him stick up for his teammates in the St. Louis game, play very physically, and that's pretty much why we got him, or one of the reasons anyway. And of course, last night he contributed offensively as well.
I think he is one that is just one that you can kind of count on regardless of where he is on the ice. So I think that I just have a good feeling about Hathaway. I truly do. I think he is. Yeah, it's good. It's good. So I loved watching these last three games. I mean, Carolina, we'll get to that later. Sorry. But I will say that I had a whole roller coaster of emotions going through all these games, but in the best way possible.
Oh, absolutely. And that it was like I said, lots of good things to see, lots of bad things. Well, not lots of, but enough that I saw that I didn't like that. Okay. Jot it down and work on this stuff to work on. Hint, hint, power play.
Get you, Coach Gil.
Atrocious. Okay. But back to Hathaway. I can't get over this guy. Did you see?
There's a little man crush going on here.
Well, kind of.
Yeah. Well, I've got it. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I believe that.
I'm all for it.
For one thing, he's from Maine, and Mrs. Blue Liner is also from Maine, so that's an instant hit in this household.
Okay.
But also, I mean, did you see him in the post-game press conference after last night's game? I mean, the intent in his eyes.
And
as Alan May pointed out, hey, look, you know, they got a point where they maybe weren't going to come out with a point, and but he's mad. He's still mad because they lost.
Well, he's one that, you know, I've seen on social media recently that people are super, I'm not even going to say super, people have pointed out the fact that they can kind of feel a little irked, I'll leave it at that, that Brayden Holtby is able to be interviewed and kind of be like, whatever, it was a loss and moving on to the next game. I personally don't think that Holtby is so, you know, blasé about stuff like that. But some people can kind of take it as, okay, hey, this is what happened, and we're moving on to the next game. Which, you know, when you have 82 games in a season, that's sometimes how you have to look at it. But then when you see guys like Hathaway being interviewed, yeah, or like you said, hit that look in his eye. And there's a fierceness there that I think is awesome, and a competitiveness that we welcome, you know, here in DC, like, why not? So I think that that's going to be a good thing. And I think, you know, the fans will see him as not so intense every single game. You know, afterwards, you kind of like to see the players as humans and not just, you know, some robotic machine out there trying to, you know, win. But I think that what he's showing us now is he's earned the spot. He's going to keep it going. We did the right thing, you know, bringing him to DC, and fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree with that. And that's, yeah, he's going to raise the level of compete. He hasn't won a Stanley Cup.
Right.
He's bringing level of hunger to a team that I think badly needed it. Maybe part of the reason they ran out of gas so quickly was because, you know, all right, it's too much. Oh, been there, done that. And he's going to bring that element of, no, we need to keep the fire going here.
Yeah.
And I like that for sure. So that, yeah, I thank you for pointing that out, because that's good observation. That's something the team badly needed.
Yeah.
It's going to keep it motivated. So yeah, good on you for that.
Well, now, that, and Gil, that's why you pay me the big bucks.
That is.
It is.
And if I had bigger bucks to pay you, then Lord knows where we'd be right now. But neither here nor there. Anyway, but one last thing about Hathaway, though. He kind of reminds me of another 21 that used to play for the Caps. Brooks Like.
Yes.
Love him or hate him. And some of us still have fond memories of him, some not so much. I understand that, but I think he does bring that level of intensity, and dare I say that level of offensive skill too,
sure.
As well. So
I don't know. I mean, Brooks is I think a lot of people today, if anybody is following him on social media, can see a completely different side of him, and you know what he's doing, and it's, you know, whatever, but when he was a player, absolutely. There was an intensity there. I like the guy. I truly was, you know, was like, oh, and, you know, he was traded. But I really think that personality-wise, they're a little bit different. I think Hathaway is going to bring an intensity to the game. But I think in the locker room, he is going to bring like that kick-ass vibe of getting the, you know, getting everybody back on that bandwagon of, you know, fuck yes, you know, Stanley Cup winners, remember what it felt like, and like, let's get you guys riled up like that. And that's where I think he's really going to be beneficial to the players. The intensity on the ice is, and the skill is there, but you know, behind closed doors in those locker rooms, how people inspire each other, he's one that's just, I think, going to get them riled up in that, in that way. So I think he's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And one other thing, at the risk of, I don't know what this will do to this episode, but at the risk of, how do I put this?
Just say,
bringing up a stimulating conversation topic.
Okay.
He's probably, well, one of his roles that a lot of people envision for him is taking some heat off of number 43 as far as the physical game. That's not to say, now that's not to say that, that Tom's going to be, you know, less taking the body and less of, you know, his doing what he does best. And that's scaring the crap out of the other forwards.
Right.
Not to mention the defenseman as well, but the fact that, you know, you got another guy who is willing and can and is good at dropping the gloves and is willing to go with just about anybody. So that that kind of saves a guy who's on the first line from having to do that versus a guy who's on the third and fourth line taking care of that things. So that's
part of why
they went out and got him. So, and you saw that in the St. Louis game in the opener.
Yep.
Where, you know, he was willing to go and, you know, take the body to whoever was messing with his teammates. So that's another key, I think. So end of this love fest for Garnett.
Hathaway love fest.
Just wanted to give that to him. And, you know, it's not just the goal scoring from last night. It's everything he brings to the table. So just want to celebrate that move in getting him, and hope to see more of what he can bring to the table. So moving on to kind of an evaluation of those three games. We don't really have a whole lot of time, but I don't think there's a whole lot of stats that tell the whole story. It's just too early. So we're going to forego that, at least for this week.
Okay.
The one thing I would say was that I liked above everything else, you mentioned Brayden Holtby already,
mm-hmm.
was the play of the goalies, both of them.
Yep.
Brayden Holtby and our newcomer, Ilya Samsonov.
Mm-hmm.
Samsonov. No, it's Samsonov.
I know. We gotta find a nickname, because everybody, it's one of those things, like when you're listening to them talk, anybody who has to on another podcast, on any of the sports channels, it's almost like there's like a awkward pause. It's like Samsonov, you know. It's like, can we just kind of find some, like, Holtby? So you can call him Holtbeast, you can call him Beast, you can, whatever. I don't know. Like, we just can't, and I know it's probably out of respect, and I get it. It is his last name, but there are so many funny ways that I've heard this guy's name. I mean, it's the kid. He's 22. Last name be pronounced that. I almost feel like we just have to call him by his number, or I don't know. We'll figure out something. But yes, super, super, super impressed. Even though I was pulling for Copley, but I totally understand. I 100%, not against Samsonov. But what a fantastic game for that kid. I mean, it was awesome. I hope you saw
sparkling.
It.
Yes. Oh no! I saw. I saw all three games.
Oh, good, good. I never know, like with your work schedule and whatnot.
They were all night games. Thank goodness. So I saw all three. See plenty of the Islanders game, and oh yeah, he sparkled in that game, and I liked the way. And here's another guy. Compete level intensity. Here's another guy who just does not give up on any play. And you saw that with the one shot where he was on his knees, and he was kind of he was kind of twisted around, and right. but he was still following the puck, and ended up making the save by reaching out with both of his arms.
It was skill. It was sick, and it was super fucking awesome.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. It's just. And it just shows how badly he wants to be a part of the team and wants to contribute and wants to do his job. And, you know, that's sets the tone for the rest of the year. Now, I also like Copley as well. And I was a little disappointed when they sent him down to Hershey. Now, him and Vanacek will make a nice 1-2 punch for the Bears this year.
True.
And like Boyd, unfortunately, Copley's long-term future is probably in doubt, at least with the Capitals. I was kind of in favor of keeping Copley up for the majority of the season, maybe using him as a pot sweetener for a deadline deal for some help then if we needed it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, seeing Samsonov and the way he played – you know, I guess they knew what they were doing. You know,
yeah.
They knew what they had. And you know, they're going to ride both Holtby and Samsonov for the rest of the year, I would think. And that's
not a bad call. No, it's not. And I'll say, like, I pulled for the Copley thing because I was impressed with them last year. I know, you know, like you and I had discussed before, there were some shots that was like, okay, that's just – literally impossible for anybody to even get that. But I also think that Copley is 29. Okay, so we have like a, you know, little bit of experience, a little older, whatever. And I was a little bit concerned about having Samsonov on the roster because, you know, he just turned 22. He was young. But you know what, he redeemed himself. He has earned it. Who cares how old you are? I mean, really, there were, you know, certain players that needed to go back to Hershey for age reasons and maturity and whatnot. He's out there 110%. And how impressive. And when at the very end of that Islanders game, when the players came up, the amount of love that Ovechkin and Holtby gave him, that to me sealed the deal. Like that was like, okay, it wasn't just, you know, not that the helmet bump isn't, you know, respectful and whatnot, but the hugs, the super, I don't know. They were so pumped for him. And I think that's just great. You know, if you're that pumped behind Holtby, why not be that, you know, exactly that same effort and same, you know, excitement for the backup. And they proved that at the Islanders ranks, you know, it's like he would have had a shutout if it wasn't for Gudas, but you know, whatever. They still won. So I'm happy with it. I only, you know, as usual with Grubauer, Copley, you know, those guys, you just only want the best for both of them going forward.
And how about that shaving cream face wash?
But how awesome was it that they were representing the Nationals too? Like, that's why I love the DC sports. And it's just so fantastic that way. But yeah, from my Tommy, like, you know, come on. I would pay for Tom Wilson to be like, hey, I'm going to put this, you know, cream pine. Okay. Right, just kidding. I'm just kidding. I thought you might have fun with that.
Digging a hole worse than an oil driller.
Cream pie. Yes. Come on now. Oh, family
dear
show.
Dear God. Okay.
I was referring to Tom Wilson and the actual pie in the face to Samsonov. In the Nationals helmet, and you took it to a gross level.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. All right, if you say so.
I can handle it. Go ahead. I know you're okay. Not going to edit it out.
Moving on.
All good.
Okay. So the bad. Yes. Okay. Mainly, the power play, especially last night. I guess Carolina has one of the better penalty kill units overall. They've had it at least going on the last year and a half. I get that.
Right.
I'm sorry. You've got Ovechkin, you've got Backstrom, you've got Oshie, you've got Carlson, you've got a lot of guys on the second unit that have some skill as well, and you've got no excuse to not produce in one game. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I was glad to not see, no more slingshot.
Yeah.
That damn thing is gone for good, thank God. So no more of that garbage. But I'm not an expert by any means here, but I think one thing we need to see more of is maybe Carlson shooting more.
Mm-hmm.
because he's got one heck of a shot.
Oh, and hell yeah.
So does Orlov, for that matter.
Yep.
So need to see more shots from the defenseman to kind of break it up. More traffic in front of the net. No, just simple stuff. I think they ought to just keep it simple.
Back to the basics.
Yeah, exactly. And Ovechkin shooting from his office, yes, he got the first goal in the first game that raised the curtain and opened things up. Yes, of course. But you know what? I think going forward, more teams are going to be looking for that. And mm-hmm. Yes, it's I would say about 90% unstoppable still, but you know, it still adds a predictable element to their game. I just think, you know, I don't know. They just need to break it up a little bit, break up the monotony, not always do the go-to play, have the D shoot more, traffic in front of the net. Let Tommy stand in front of the crease and, you know, let the goalie, you know, taste what he had for dinner, you know, for a while. And you know, just simple stuff like that you know, makes life difficult for the other team.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see more of.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I definitely was impressed with how they came out and played St. Louis. Kind of need to like calm it down a little bit in that first, you know, the first 10 minutes or so, and then I think they got their groove. Things were good, and the Islanders game was good. I'm not going to say anything was great because it wasn't great. It wasn't great hockey. Like there, and I hate to say, oh, it's just, you know, the first couple of games, but now they've been practicing for a while. Some of these guys have been together for a while. Like, I don't want to hear about any kind of excuses. I will say I was disappointed in last night's game. I really thought they knew going in that Carolina was going to give, you know, an incredible, you know, game. Like they were not going to give up. And I felt like, I feel like the team overall just kind of gave maybe 75%. We didn't see the desire that the Hurricanes came out with. And that was disappointing after the whole red carpet. You know, and you're kind of hyped up and like, you know, we've got this freaking adorable golden retriever or golden lab, you know, puppy captain to represent the team. And it's like, oh, we got all these great. And then you're home and it's like, come on. And it's Carolina. So, you know, I was really hoping for a lot more from the boys last night. And I didn't see it. And it was kind of, you know, one of those things started to kick in, but by then it was too late.
You mentioned the red card. Let me get this out of the way. I'm probably going to get a lot of hate mail for this, but okay. I mean, Come on, red carpet, seriously? Come
Didn't
on.
All teams do that though?
I don't know if they do, but this is the first time I ever saw it. Come on. I mean, these guys aren't movie stars for crying out loud.
No, but
do we have to do that?
Yes.
Why?
Because they've been doing it for a while, and they for the fans who have been there who want to kick off the first home game, gives them a chance to see the players. They sign autographs, they take pictures. It's a big deal. So what? And they all looked awesome last night. This whole like checkered suit thing seems to be the big style.
Yeah, what was up with Kempney's suit? Did you see that?
Yes. Couple of times.
Oh, listen to us. We turned from a hockey show to it. Oh, never mind.
No. But that was why I was bummed, because you get like, you know, thousands of fans that come out. They always do this. It's always the home game. You know, Wes Johnson, you got Rob Carlton. I mean, like, everybody is, it's a big deal. And you would think that hype would carry you into the arena, being like, hell yeah, we're gonna do this for DC, we're gonna keep it going, especially against Carolina. And I don't know, I mean, I know people were throwing Holtby under the bus. I don't know, I don't think he played his 100%. He had some great saves, but
the one guy who is absolutely blameless in that game is Braden Holtby. Okay,
really?
He kept them in. Yeah. Had it not been for him, they would have fallen in a hole from the get-go. And yeah, they started out slow a little bit, and they picked it up towards the middle of the first and into the second.
True.
And they found their stride, and who was keeping them in it but Braden Holt. And you know, I'm sorry, but I don't think, you know, and he's always sounds kind of down after he loses, because he always brings it on himself, but that's how he is.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, you know, when you were talking before about, you know, Hathaway and his intensity about losing, and, you know, he's so intense about it. And then when I listen to or read, quote unquote, you know, what people have to say on social media about Braden Holtby, that he's very, you know, oh, whatever, you know, it happened, this is what we need to do the next time, and it's very whatever. I don't think that about him. I think that, you know, you're a goalie, you're intense, you know that it comes down to, you know, when it comes to the scoring, that he's a huge part in, you know, being between the pipes and doing what he's supposed to do, and being, it doesn't necessarily have to be a shootout. But we just want to see the, you know, the Caps win. I think that he is just an outstanding goalie, and I have so much respect for him. And I hate when people on social media are like, trade him, he's this, he's that, whatever. But I don't necessarily think that last night was a true Holtby game. I think he had some great saves. But I think at the end, you know, I don't know. Maybe he just looked more tired, and then maybe I should, you know, be all over the defensive line for, you know, for not protecting, you know, that more. So I don't know. But I thought that, I don't know, last night I didn't feel the same intensity, and I don't know, that whole beast mode like I did for St. Louis. I just felt like it was like 100% then, and maybe about 75% last night.
No, look, I will not fault Braden Holtby for the game he had. I don't think it should be on him. I think that he did his best. Maybe he didn't look his absolute best, but, and this is why it's so hard at the beginning of the season. It's too small a sample size. It's too much. That's not, you know, you're not taking enough into account. You know, you need more games to see him in. But I think I didn't have a problem with his game, and I don't think the the blame should be put on him in any shape. Oh,
I'm not putting the entire blame on him, but I am saying that when I said last week that Carolina has become like the new nemesis, this is, I feel like they are 100% overriding the whole Pens rivalry, that I really thought they'd come out like how they did when they played in Carolina. I'm not saying it's all Holtby. I'm absolutely not. I just didn't feel like I saw him at 100%, but there were other players too. But I'm, you know, just bringing up that part.
Well, now that you mention, you know, getting up for that game, yeah, I was kind of hoping for, I don't know, a little more.
Come on!
Physicality, I guess. Yeah. A little more, you know, kind of crash and bang. You know,
well, I'm still kind of hoping for Gudas to drop the gloves, but I'm not seeing it yet. So maybe
that's coming. That's coming.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's just sort of like this little, like he's just a pot of water on the stove. He's just sort of kind of simmering. When it comes to full boil, and who knows, maybe it'll be against his old team. He's going to be no joke. And that's what I'm looking forward to. But yeah, I don't know. It was okay. I really, really, really wanted to see them come out, like you said, the physical end of it and whatnot for that Carolina game. But let's just hope they bring it, you know, for Dallas.
Oh, I think so. And nice segue, by the way.
You're welcome.
But one last thing before we get to the upcoming games.
Sure.
But that's why. Okay. So you and a certain other someone, Lisa Desabray, teased me about bringing binoculars to a live game.
Okay. Yeah.
The reason I did so was because so I could get a nice close up on how a player moves his body, his legs, his feet. How his hands are positioned on his stick, where he's positioned, how he moves, how quickly he reacts. It allows me to see those little nuances. Okay. And if you look close enough to last night's game, it kills the piss out of me, if that's a phrase, to
it's
say
not,
this.
But okay.
But Carolina, I'm sorry, they looked a little bit, you know, quicker on the draw, a little bit easier, you know, quicker to react, you know, better on the puck for most of the game, you know, and that's, I'm kind of afraid of that being, you know, they're not paying any heed to that they need to, you know, not rely on old instincts so much versus, look, you know, study this team, like right. it or not, they're up and coming. I don't trust their goaltending worth crap,
right?
To be honest, I think that's going to doom them into possibly not even finishing in the playoff. But the rest, they're skaters. This team could skate with anybody. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's just it. It is not a team to underestimate. It's not a team to be like, whatever, like, don't get cocky. Don't even, you know, you're to go into this, you know, yes, I get that you have 82 games and it's tough and it's physical, but when you're out there, the Carolina Hurricanes are not a team to ignore this season. Absolutely not. They are out to redeem themselves after what happened last year. That coach is insane. I'm like waiting for like his head to explode on, you know, on the bench. He's so intense. But you know what? That's what makes this sport so incredibly awesome to watch is, you know, get your players riled up, get them competitive. Don't be dirty. I don't want to see dirty plays. And I don't want to see dirty players. You know, I want to see, you know, players that have grown up playing hockey their whole life. It's in their blood, 100% want to represent their team and, you know, take it as far as they can. But Carolina is no joke. They're going to be the team that we absolutely have to watch out for this season.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm saying this, but unfortunately, yeah, they've got no choice. Their division rival, those points are going to count the most because, like it or not, the Metro Division is pretty damn competitive this year. And, you know, a lot of folks, a lot of pundits have the Caps finishing first, but, you know, it's not a given. Nothing's a given.
Exactly.
It can all go up in smoke before you face, before you know it. It really can. So if this team is taken lightly, just like you said, they could wind up, in a lot of hurting. Okay, so yeah, that's our take basically on the first three games of the season. Now, the next three games, as Anna already mentioned, the next one at least, this coming Tuesday, another home game, 7 o'clock drop against the Dallas Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the next three games, counting this one, they're going to take what I like to call barbecue route, because it's Dallas Tuesday, and then they travel to Nashville Thursday, 8 o'clock puck drop, and then it's over to Dallas on Saturday.
Correct.
Again, so going to get some ribbing from my family there, especially if we lose.
But those are, I mean, looking at the entire, you know, the schedule and whatever, but tough teams are going up against a lot of time on the road. But again, you know, they had this really fantastic, you know, 2-1 opening. Okay, you know, we're okay with it. And I'm still supporting, you know, Reardon, still supporting Cashman. Like, I like that there wasn't any major changes. And I really think that everyone's in a good headspace. So let's go with it. You know, Dallas Stars have always been competitive. They've always been, you know, Tyler Seguin and, you know, you've got all these great players, but you know, we've beaten them before. There's no reason why we can't do it again. And Nashville, you know, it's just, it sucks to have to play. Is Nashville home or?
It's a road game.
Okay. That's tough. Especially for that fan base, but it's not like we can't do it, you know? So it's get your head in the game. You know, we feel confident in the goalies. We feel confident, I do, in the coaching. And I feel like everyone, you know, knock on wood, is healthy. And let's get Kentney back on ice and let's just have a kick-ass season.
Yeah, no, I am not. Let's make one thing clear before we finish everything up. I am not down on this team at all. There is lots to let go.
Oh, no, forward. I know you're not. I know you're not. I'm sorry if it came off that way.
No. I just want to, you know, make sure that I get that point across. But I also think there's a lot of things to work on, a lot of things to fine tune, and with the roster uncertainty because of the salary cap and Kuznetsov coming back and affecting that, there's still going to be some chemistry issues to deal with going forward. And so there's that to sort out. But like you said, I think they are they're in a good place. They're on the right track. They just need to continue to work on the things that they've been working on and continue to do well what they've been doing well.
All right, and keep it consistent. And let's not exactly hope I have to, you know, be boring like I was a couple seasons ago and being like consistency, consistency, consistency. But you know what? That is so ridiculously important for a team sport. And, you know, we've got chemistry and consistency. So I'm, you know, you just, those two, when they go together, oh, it is fantastic. So let's just hope, you know, and I think it's going to take Gudas to drop the gloves and be like, oh, hell yeah, respect, we got you. And, you know, a little bit like, I don't know, a little bit more of that Hathaway and Leipzig and, you know, getting those guys out there to know that you can have an Ovechkin and a Leipzig or, you know, whatever it is and whatever the match is and say, you know what, this is why we're all on the Capitals together.
Yeah. And one last note. I applaud the decision to keep Chandler Stephenson as well. Want to give him some love because I think he's starting to get his game back. And that can also only be a good thing because the bottom six forwards are going to be key going forward this year. That's the boys on DC, NBC DC, you know, Rob Carlin and Alan May, they made that after the game last night. That they're going to be key going forward. So just want to put that out there as well. So I think this is a good place to stop as of now. So watch for those three games, 7 o'clock Tuesday, 8 o'clock puck drop Thursday. And the road game in Dallas is also 8 o'clock on Saturday night. We watching along game threads are going to be on the Washington Capitals fan page, a Facebook fan page hosted by Sonia Kendall and also by the True Caps Fans Facebook fan page hosted by Messrs. Levesque, Deal, et al. And others. Mm-hmm. So if you want some good and funny, entertaining game threads to follow, they'll be there. Of course, there'll be our postings as well on our Facebook homepage. So strongly recommend all three. So, going to stop it here. Looking forward to those next three games. So for the Mermaid Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that if you're having trouble getting somebody to listen to what you're trying to say, well, I'm not for violence, but you know what you ought to do? Stick them with a needle. You know why? Because they'll get the point.
Seriously, where do these come from?
The heart, as they always do.
No.
Hallelujah, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.